Welcome to our class in Chassidus. We're going to be learning this week a beautiful Chassidic discourse from the Rebbe. The name of the Chassidic discourse is called Bahaloischa Es Haneirois. The Rebbe said this Chassidic discourse in Shabbos Parshas Bahaloischa in the year Tavshin Chavtes, 52 years ago. That Shabbos Bahaloischa fell out on the 21st day of the month of Sivan. 30 years ago in the year Tavshin and Aleph, in honor of Tezvav Sivan, the 15th day of the month of Sivan, the Rebbe went ahead and certified and edited this beautiful, powerful Chassidic discourse. So again, the Chassidic discourse is based on the verse, the opening verse of this Torah portion, Bahaloischa Saneiros. The literal translation is, when Aaron HaKoyin would elevate and light the candles. So the Alter Rebbe in his classical book of mysticism on the Parsha, Likutei Torah, the Alter Rebbe says that even though Neiros technically is referring to candles, we know everything in the Torah exists on a spiritual level. So he says the Neiros are in reference to the Neshamos, the souls. Why? And what's the connection between a Neir, a candle, and a soul? So he quotes the verse in the Torah that says, Neir Hashem Nishmas Adam. The candle of Hashem is the soul of a human being. Now, if that's the case, how come there's seven candles in the menorah? In other words, why is there seven souls? We each have one soul. It should either be one soul, one candle, or infinite amount of candles. So he says the reason why there's seven candles, Alter explains, because there's seven personalities, seven types of Jewish people when it comes to serving Hashem. For example, there are those that serve Hashem with love, Ava, Chesed. And there are so those that serve Hashem with Eish, with fire, with Gevura, and so on and so forth. He explains every one of the Sefirot, there's different types of levels, the way to relate and to serve and connect to Hashem. So that is what the way the Alter Rebbe explains it in the Likutei Torah. That again, Neiros is referring to Neshamos, souls, and there's different types of souls. The Rebbe brings from the Rebbe Maharash, the fourth Chabad Rebbe, in a Chassidic discourse on the same verse, Bahaloischa Saneiros, that he said 100 years before the Rebbe said this Chassidic discourse. So obviously from now, it's 152 years ago. And the Rebbe Maharash says that what is Neiros referring to? Why are they called candles? And he brings a beautiful chazal. Let's say as follows. Hashem says to the Jewish people, my candle is in your hand. And your candle is in my hand. What does that mean, my candle's in your hand? So the Medrash explains, my candle's referring to the Torah. What's the connection between Torah and a candle? Because we know it says in the verse, ki ner mitzvah Torah, that the candle is mitzvot, Torah is light, which we know the Torah and the mitzvahs come from Hashem. So Hashem says, my candle, Torah and mitzvahs that belong to me are in your hand. And your candle, which is referring to our soul, and as we mentioned already, the verse before where it says Neir Hashem Nishmas Adam, that is in my hands. What does that mean? And the Medrash explains, if you keep and watch my candle, which means you learn Torah and you observe the mitzvah, so Hashem says, guess what? I'll watch your candle. I'll take care of your candle, your neshama. But if, God forbid, you extinguish my candle, you don't learn Torah, you don't learn mitzvahs, Hashem says, I'm going to extinguish, sadly, your candle. That's what the Rebbe Maharash explains. So the Rebbe asks a simple question. This idea that a neshama is called a candle, the Alter Rebbe says it's based on the verse, Neir Hashem Nishmas Adam. Even the Rebbe Maharash brings the chazal, that the whole story with the candle, my candle, your candle, but still to prove the point that a neshama is a candle. So it says in the verse clearly, what does it say in the verse? Neir Hashem Nishmas Adam. So if the main point is Neir Hashem Nishmas Adam, that we know our neshama is a candle, why is Rebbe Maharash bringing the whole story? That my candle and your candle, Torah, mitzvahs, and so on and so forth. Also, the Rebbe asks, what does it say in the verse? Neir Hashem, the candle of Hashem, is what? Nishmas Adam. So in other words, what does that mean? What's our neshama? Our neshama is the candle of who? Hashem. Neir Hashem, the candle of Hashem, is the soul of a soul of human beings. So in other words, our neshama is what? Is Hashem's candle. In the Medrash, what does it say? Hashem says that my candle is in your hand, the Torah, and our candle, which is our neshama, is in Hashem's hand. So according to the Medrash, our neshama, that's our candle. Not our candle, Hashem has it, but it's our candle, which is seemingly the opposite message of the verse itself. So Rebbe says we're going to understand this with an introduction, which is explained many places. Well, and the question is asked, it says, "Bahalois chasaneiros." Who's the one that lights the candles? Aaron, the high priest. So obviously that's literally. But spiritually we said, Bahalois chasaneiros, referring to our neshamot, the souls. Who is elevating our souls? Aaron, HaKoyin. What is Aaron's job with our souls? What is he involved with our neshamot, our souls? Because Aaron is here to inspire our souls that we should have a will to constantly b'haloischa, to move up in life, to grow in life, to go deeper in life. Up to the point where it says we should want to go so high that we want to connect to Hashem, that even if we're consumed with atzmus erin seif, or the essence of the infinite light, that's okay. Who inspires us to connect to God so deeply? That's what Aaron does. Now, so Rebbe asks, one second. That's what is brought down in many places of mysticism. But the fact is, Rebbe says, one second. Every one of us have a neshama. What is the nature of the neshama? The nature of our soul is to cleave to Hashem. So if it's the nature to our neshama to cleave to Hashem, what is Aaron accomplishing? He's accomplishing something which we naturally want to do. And matter of fact, the Rebbe quotes in Tanya, where it says in Tanya that the reason why a neshama is called a candle, why is a neshama called candles? Because just like a candle, what happens when you put on a candle? The fire just wants to go to its source. It wants to leave. It wants to go to the source of fire, which is under the sphere of the moon. So the same thing also, our neshamas, by nature, wants to go higher and higher to our source. So if that's the case, what is Aaron accomplishing? So the author explains, and he says like this. Even though our neshama naturally wants to cleave to Hashem, but we need Aaron. We need the high priest to elevate us, that we should want to cleave to Hashem. Why? Because since our neshama, and even though in its nature it wants to cleave to Hashem, but the neshama came down here, and we say down, we don't mean physically down, we mean on a spiritual level. We came down to a place where God is concealed, and not only comes down to this world where God is concealed, but it goes into the body. So what happens then is the soul gets, so to speak, buried. It gets concealed, and the natural instinct to cleave to Hashem unfortunately gets covered up. You don't see it in a revealed way, and in a way that it affects you in a practical way in your life. So Aaron's job is to take off that concealment that we should want to tackle do our nature. So Aaron doesn't have to create within us the yearning, but he has to take off the part that we're concealed and we got stuck, so to speak, in the materialistic world and in the passion of the body of our body, which pulls us down. And the Rebbe connects this based on, it's brought down many places in Chassidus, in a mysticism, that the neshamot, we know there's different levels of neshamot. So when the neshama comes down from heaven down to this world, it goes through all the worlds. Atzilut, Briah, Yetzirah, and Asiyah. Now, pending on where it hangs out for those 9 months while it makes its journey down to the world, that's what type of neshama it is. So for example, there's something which is called a neshama of Atzilut. What does that mean? So even though it went through Atzilus, Bri, Yetzirah, Asiyah to come down to this world, but it spent most of its time in the world of Atzilut. Since the Neshama spent most of the time in the world of Atzilut, so when it comes down to this world, it's really, really connected to Hashem. It's called the Neshama of Atzilut. We all know Moshe Rabbeinu was called the Neshama of Atzilut. But then you have all the Neshamot that spent maybe a little time in the world of Atzilut, but spent more time in the world of Bria, Yetzirah, and Asiyah, depending on where it spent more time, that's the type of soul is going to be in this world. It's going to be more inclined to physical things, materialistic things, self-pursuits, and so on and so forth. So there's two types of souls. Neshama of the world of Atzilut, and the neshama of Biyah, Bria, Yetzirah, and Asiyah. Now, a neshama of the world of Atzilut, what is that called? It's called, in Kabbalah, Zera Adam, the seed of Adam, and I'll soon explain why. And the neshamot of the world of Biyah, Bria, Yetzirah, Asirah, are called Zera, the seed of Behema, an animal. What's the connection? Because the neshama of Atzilus, even once it comes down into this world, and it comes down into the body, the nature of its yearning and its drive in life is to just to cleave to Hashem. And it only wants to go higher and higher in its connection to Hashem. So that's why it's called that type of soul. The soul of Atzilut is called Zera Adam. Why is it called Adam? Because Adam is the expression of Ruach HaAdam, the spirit of man, HaOyla LaMayla. What does Adam want to do? He wants to go on high. So an Adam is somebody which is an Neshama of Atzilut that wants to go on high. On the other hand, the neshama that spent more time in the world of Biyah, Bria, Yetzirah, and Asiyah, which is most of the souls. So when they come down into this world and they come down into the body, what happens is they're drawn after body type of stuff, physical stuff, materialistic stuff, and anything which is important in the materialistic world. So since the materialistic world is what drives them, and that's the yearning. So therefore they're called Zera Behema, the seed of an animal. Why? Because we know that the way an animal works is, an animal is on four legs, and it faces down into the materialistic world. The spirit of an animal is down here in this physical world. So since most of the souls are neshamot of a Biyah, and they're called Zera Behema, which means their drive is, unfortunately, in the materialistic world, takes a lot of work to shift. You can absolutely elevate yourself. So comes along Aaron. Aaron has tremendous work. What's Aaron's job? To inspire and awaken and reveal the nature of the neshama, that even the neshama of Biyah, that it should want to b'halois chasaneiros, be elevated, that their nature of their soul should come out in a revealed way, and it should want to go on higher and higher. So that's what the job of Aaron is, to take our souls that unfortunately are a little distracted and concealed, and inspire us to do what we naturally want to do, which is cleave to Hashem. Now, so whoever goes on a step further. Okay, great. So that's what Aaron does. So in Chassidus, they explain that what is Aaron's avoida? What's Aaron's job? To inspire us to reveal the nature of our soul that we should want to go higher. Who does that? Aaron. Why Aaron? It could be anybody. Why Aaron? Anyone can come along and inspire us. Hey, cleave to Hashem. That's our nature. Why specifically Aaron? So the Rebbe says, because there's a verse that says, in reference to Aaron, it says, Keshemen hatoiv al harosh, like good oil on the head, Yoyred, it comes down, al hazakein, on the beard, Zkan Aaron, the beard of Aaron, al pimidaisav, so it goes over, all over the measurements of Aaron. So what does Zakan Aaron mean? The oil goes on the head, goes down on the beard. What is the beard of Aaron referring to? So it's brought down in Chassidus and it says, Zakan Aaron is referring to halachot, the laws of Torah. The laws of Torah. In other words, Aaron represents Torah, which aspect of Torah? Halacha of Torah, the laws of Torah. And what happens is through Torah, and we know Torah is called Torah Ur. When you learn Torah, the light bulb goes on. You see the world totally different. So what happens when you learn Torah, all of a sudden the light bulb goes on, which means practically the soul that we have that wants to cleave to Hashem all of a sudden gets revealed. And what light bulb goes on is the drive and the yearning to cleave higher and higher, that even when it comes down into the body, even when it comes down into this physical world, b'halois chasaneiros Aaron, through the power of halachos of Torah, he puts on the light that our neshama should want to cleave to Hashem. So based on this, the Rebbe explains the connection which we mentioned in the beginning, that the Rebbe Rash brings from the Medrash that says that if you observe my candle, if you watch my candle, which we know the candle of Hashem is Torah, I will watch your candle, your neshama. And the question, what's that connected to? What does that have to do with Alayis Kas and Eirais? And the answer is very simple. Because if Hashem's saying that when you learn Torah, that means you're watching my candle, I'm going to watch your candle. What does that mean? I'm going to make sure your candle, your fire for Hashem does not get extinguished. What does that mean? It doesn't get extinguished. The nature and the wanting to go higher and higher should be revealed. And so we see that learning Torah, and which we do, causes our soul to want to go higher, is directly connected to the idea of Balaiska scenarios, because Aaron is also brings us Torah, and by bringing us in Torah, he inspires us to go higher and higher and cleave to Hashem. And the Rebbe continues on to say that in the Chassidic discourse, he explains as follows. You know, this idea, what the Medrash says, that if you observe my Torah, then, and you know, as you watch my Torah, you observe my Torah, then I'm going to watch your soul. So the Rebbe asks a very simple question. What's the connection? Hashem loves us unconditionally. Our job is to learn Torah. Beautiful. Hashem's job is to give us an neshama, make sure our neshama is working. It's like a deal. If you learn Torah, I'm going to make sure your soul. And what's the connection between learning Torah and Hashem taking care of us and making sure our neshama is working? Our neshama should work and should work. And we should learn Torah because we should learn Torah. Not come from kind of a brokering a deal here. So the Rebbe Rash explains in the Chassidic discourse, and he says like this. It's brought down in the Medrash, and it says as follows. In whose merit did Hashem create the heaven and the earth? A, whose merit did he create it? And B, in whose merit is it standing? Because Hashem had to create it, and he has to constantly recreate it. So in whose merit did Hashem create the heaven and the earth? And is whose merit did Hashem recreate? Does he constantly recreate the heaven and earth? And the Medrash says, in whose merit? In the merit of Eilish Shmois B'nai Yisrael, the Jewish people's merit. So then the Medrash goes a step further. The Jewish people's merit, like, what did we do that in our merit the world is standing? There's Hashem created the world, Hashem is maintaining it in us. Like, who are we? What did we do? And the Medrash says, What did we do that in our merit Hashem is creating and maintaining the world? In the merit of Eileha Eidus Vachukim Mishpatim, when we observe the mitzvahs, and there's three different categories in the mitzvahs, Eidus testimonies, Chukim statutes, and Mishpatim rules. So when we observe Eidus Chukim Mishpatim, so we're meritorious that in order of us, because of us, Hashem created the world and maintains the world. In other words, the intent why Hashem created the world and created the Jewish people was, and our completion becomes, through learning Torah. So it's like a circle. Hashem created the world for us, and Hashem created the world for us so that we can give us a Torah, we can learn Torah and do mitzvahs, then everything is complete, then everything is wholesome. In other words, when we go ahead and observe the 613 commandments, 248 positive, 365 negative commandments, what happens is we actually get an upgrade, even higher than our level the way it is. So in other words, like this, Hashem gave us an neshama, 100%. Hashem gave us a Torah mitzvahs. When we learn Torah and we do the mitzvahs, then our neshama gets elevated because now we're fulfilling the intent of Hashem by creating the world. And that's the reason why the neshama comes down into this world and it comes down into the body so that we can learn Torah and do mitzvahs. Why? Because when you learn Torah and you observe the mitzvahs, your soul gets elevated even higher than before it came down to this world. So if you want to upgrade your soul, simple. Learn Torah and do mitzvahs. And based on this, Rebbe explains what the Rebbe Rash is saying. Im shamarta esneiri. If you observe and you take care of my candle, which means you learn Torah and you do the mitzvahs. I will watch your candle, your neshama, which means not just the same as before. I'll actually watch it and bring it to a higher level. In other words, if you want to make sure your soul's on fire and it's constantly being elevated, it's through one thing. Making sure the torch of Torah and mitzvahs is alive in your life, you will constantly and consistently elevate your soul to the highest possible levels. Now, so what did we just learn? We learned, very powerful, that when we watch Hashem's Torah, when we watch Hashem's candle, which is Torah and mitzvahs, Hashem will watch our soul, which means when we learn Torah and we do the mitzvahs, our soul gets elevated even higher than before. So based on this, Rebbe says, that's the connection between B'haloyischos HaNeiros. You will elevate the candles. Why? Because what's the idea of B'haloyischos HaNeiros? It's to elevate the soul higher than when it came down into this world before. So B'haloyischa is all about upgrading. B'haloyischa HaNeiros. It's not that the candle should stay the way it is. We're lighting a candle. No, B'haloyischa. We have to elevate it to the next level. How do we elevate it to the next level? By learning Torah and doing mitzvahs. So that's in general. We've learned till now. Obviously, now we're going to go into a step further and a step deeper. As always in the world of Chassidut, whatever you know, we're going to go down a step further and a step deeper. So in order to go into this in a little more deeper and a more specific, Rebbe is going to start off with an introduction, and he's going to ask as follows. What does it say in the Chassidic discourse? What was the question? What is the connection between learning Torah, and because of that, you're going to take care of our soul? What? And we said, what's the connection between the two? I'll learn Torah, elevate my soul. Why are you tying the two together? In other words, this, what was the question that why they connected? What do you learn Torah? You connect. You should automatically, your soul gets elevated. What's the brains behind the question? What's the insight behind the question? So the Rebbe explains like this: what does that mean when Hashem says, if you watch my candle, which means you're watching my Torah and my mitzvahs? So it means like this. Does that mean that if you watch my Torah and you watch my mitzvahs, does that mean that you're saying, okay, don't desecrate the Torah, or don't violate the mitzvot? Or does it mean not only that you're not going to desecrate or not going to violate, it actually means no, in a positive, that you're obligated to learn Torah, to do mitzvahs. And so when Hashem's saying, if you watch my candle, he doesn't only mean don't desecrate it, don't destroy it. No, you watch it means be excited about Torah, learn Torah. It should be your life. Do mitzvahs, not just only don't desecrate. So therefore, based on that, that's the question. What's the connection? What do you mean? What do you mean? What's the connection? What's the connection? And Rebbe explains as follows. He says very simple. This that Hashem says, you want me to take care of your soul? You want me to watch it and elevate it? Okay, make sure that you don't desecrate the Torah. That makes sense. Why? Because when someone, God forbid, desecrates the Torah or desecrates the mitzvahs, so you're actually making a pgam. You're actually creating a defect in your soul. So Hashem is saying, don't desecrate the Torah, don't desecrate the mitzvahs, and I'll make sure your soul stays intact, because by not desecrating, you won't make a defect in it. But here what we're saying is, no, Hashem is saying, when he says, when you watch my candle, he's referring to what? Not only don't desecrate it, no, learn, do mitzvahs. So if that's the case, it's about learning and doing mitzvahs, and based on that, sometimes when someone doesn't learn and do mitzvahs the way they're supposed to. But that shouldn't be a reason why the soul should be affected. I didn't do anything wrong. See, if I did something wrong, okay, Hashem is going to watch me. So Hashem says, don't do anything wrong, so I won't have to watch you. Your soul will stay intact. But I'm not doing anything, I'm neutral. I'm not desecrating, but I'm not learning. I'm not learning as much as I should. I'm not doing mitzvahs as much as I should. And it takes it a step further. So that's first issue. Like, what's the connection between, like, the fact that I'm not totally empowered and excited about Torah mitzvahs, that you have to watch my soul? I didn't do anything wrong. And then it takes it a step further and says like this. As we mentioned before, there's two types of souls. There's the neshamot of atzilut and the neshamot of biyah, b'ri yetziyah asiyah. So when it comes to neshama v'atzilut, which means that when it comes down to this world, it's plugged in. It naturally is cleaving to Hashem. In other words, so the question about what's the connection between if you watch my candle, I'll watch your candle. So he's asking it more in relation to the neshama v'atzilut. Why? Because when it comes to the neshamas of bia, bri, yetzia, sira, which we said before is most of the souls. So you can say very simple. The reason why we have to watch the candle of Torah mitzvahs, why do we have to watch it? Hashem is saying, watch, make sure to learn Torah, make sure to do the mitzvot. Why? It's very simple. Because unfortunately, when we're living in this world, our body is more important. Our animal soul, unfortunately, conceals and on our soul. So Hashem says, guess what? You're living in a territory where if you're not vigilant to make sure to learn and do mitzvahs, your body will take over, your animal soul will take over. So therefore, it makes sense. Hashem says to you, hey, watch my candle. Why? Because if you don't watch it, your body will take over, your materialistic drives will take over, your animal soul will take over. So there it makes sense to say, make sure, watch my candle, learn Torah, do mitzvahs. And then I'll make sure your soul stays intact. But the question really is, in reference to the neshama of Atzilut, why? Because when it comes to the neshama of Atzilus, what's reality? Kashem and godliness. Torah and mitzvahs is natural to them. So what do we need to say, if you learn Torah, I'll watch your candle. And neshama of Atzilus is there already. So based on this, the Rebbe says like this. You know, since we're talking about the neshama v'atzilut, so why does it say that if you observe my candle, it means you learn Torah and you do mitzvahs, and like you said, like if you observe my eidos chukim mishpatim, obviously they're going to take care of it. Now, the fact is like this. This that the Jewish people are standing, the neshamot are strong in the merit of what? Learning Torah, we said before, doing mitzvahs, which means very simple. When we observe the mitzvot, when we learn Torah, what happens is we get elevated to a higher level. But the fact is like this. You know, as we have our neshama, Hashem gave us a soul. Our soul is our soul. In other words, Hashem gave us a soul. There's no condition to the soul. Our soul is our soul. It's a part of God. So from our basic soul, what's the connection with Torah? Our basic soul is connected to Hashem. But that's what it would seem. But based on this medrash that says, if you observe my candle, which means you learn Torah and do mitzvahs, I'm going to take care of your soul. But on the soul on its own doesn't need to be taken care of. We have our soul. So the Rebbe explains something very, very powerful, and he says like this. The Rebbe brings a piece from the Zohar, from Kabbalah, which actually the Alter brings in Tanya as well, and explains as follows. And he says like this. So we're going to bring the Zohar and the way the Alter explains it. Zohar says, if you have a candle and you don't feed it with wax or oil, what happens? It doesn't burn. The wick will get burnt up and there's no fire. If you want a candle to burn, you need to either feed it with wax. The more wax, the longer it's going to burn. Or the more oil, the longer it's going to burn. So you need oil. So the same thing the Zohar says, the Shechina, the divine presence, the divine fire, does not dwell on the body of human beings, which the body is like, in the parable, compared to a wick, only through doing good deeds, mitzvot, which is compared to oil. So in other words, the Zohar is saying is like this. You have a candle, requires fire, a wick, but in order for it to keep on burning, it has to have oil. The same thing also. The Shechina, to dwell on our body, the body is like the wick, you need to feed it with mitzvot. That's the Zohar says. Comes along the Alter in Tanya and he says as follows. The reason that the Shechina, Hashem's presence, that comes on the body of the person, specifically through doing mitzvahs. What do you mean? We have a neshama. Why do we have to do mitzvahs? We have a neshama. We're connected to Hashem. And we know the neshama is a part of Hashem. So what's wrong with our neshama being the oil? Why do we need to do mitzvahs to have the relation with Hashem? And the Alter explains very simple, and he says like this. Because our soul, even if our soul is a tzadik gomer, neshama v'atzilut, right? The highest level of a soul. And even if the soul is serving Hashem with tremendous love, with tremendous awe, and with tremendous passion and pleasure, it's great, it's beautiful, right? Think of an image. Tzadik loves Hashem in awe of Hashem. The problem, the Alter Rebbe says, is that this soul that's on fire, the soul is not humbled totally for Hashem. In Hebrew, the soul is not batal b'metziut, completely. So what is he? What do you mean? He's serving Hashem. He loves Hashem. He's in awe of Hashem. And he's Alter Rebbe explains. The person is, and I'll say it in Hebrew because it's impactful. The person is a dover b'fnei atzmai. You're an independent entity that is in awe of Hashem and you love Hashem. Powerful. So again, because this is key to explain the whole idea of the connection between Torah and mitzvahs with the neshama. Again, the neshama, you can be in awe of Hashem, you can love Hashem, and you can be the biggest tzaddik, I love Hashem, I would do anything for Hashem, but you're an independent entity that loves Hashem. That's called serving Hashem with love and awe. It's amazing. But you're an independent entity. However, when it comes to the mitzvahs of Hashem, Hashem said, do this. Don't do that. So the Alter Rebbe says, what's a mitzvah? What's the spiritual component of a mitzvah? A mitzvah is pnimius ritzoino yizborich. The essence, the internal will of Hashem. Powerful. A mitzvah is the internal, the primius rotzin of Hashem. A mitzvah is what Hashem wants us to do, whether it's do or don't do. So when we observe any one of the 248 mitzvot, or we don't desecrate any one of the 365 negative precepts, we are doing the will, the internal will of Hashem. Now, when a person does a mitzvah, so the energy that it takes to do a mitzvah is not disconnected from Hashem. It's not an independent identity doing the will of Hashem. But you're actually one, unified with the will of Hashem. Powerful. So you can be in awe of Hashem, love Hashem. Great, it's your being in awe of the love of Hashem. When you do a mitzvah, you're one with Hashem. Therefore, based on this, the Alter explains in Tanya, so in order for the Shekhinah, Hashem's presence, to dwell on the body, that's specifically by doing a mitzvah. When you do a mitzvah, the Shekhinah's on you. Why? Because in order for the Shekhinah to dwell and rest on anything, on any person, place, etc., it only happens when the thing becomes totally one with Hashem and is totally humbled, b'metzias, totally butled b'metzias, becomes one with Hashem. And then when the thing becomes totally nullified, it becomes non-existent, then Hashem truly rests on the person in a beautiful way. Now, so again, this is extremely important. I'm just going to recap one more time because this is going to help us understand everything going forward. What the Alter is saying is that when a person loves Hashem and is awe of Hashem, which is great and it's beautiful, and it's a nice sight to see and it's a great feeling, but you are an independent entity serving Hashem. On the other hand, when you do the mitzvah of Hashem, it's not you. There's no you. What does Hashem want me to do? I don't exist. I'm ready to do the mitzvah. And then you totally become nullified with the will of Hashem, and the Hashem becomes totally part of you and who you are. Now, based on this, The Alter explains why the Medrash says when we watch Hashem's candle, Hashem will watch our soul. Why? What does it mean, the candle, when we refer to the neshama? What does it mean, our soul? The ultimate soul is the candle of the soul when the soul is on fire. When the soul is on fire means when the soul is totally bottled, when it's totally humbled for Hashem. And when is the, like, there's different levels of humility. What's the complete highest level of humility where the soul is totally one with Hashem? And as in Hebrew, it's called bitul b'metzias legamri. It totally doesn't exist. That happens through doing a mitzvah. So based on this, Rebbe explains very powerful, and he says like this. That's why the candle of the soul is called our candle. Why? Because it's us. We still exist. On the other hand, the candle of Torah and mitzvah is, whose is that? That's Hashem. Our soul on fire, it's us. It's us on fire. On the other hand, Hashem says, my candle, what's my candle? When you learn Torah, my Torah, and you do mitzvah, it's my mitzvah, that's my candle. Why? Because even if you have a soul and you're trying to cleave to Hashem, and we need to cleave to Hashem, it's not totally where the soul gets one with Hashem. It's not where the soul doesn't exist anymore. It's still our candle. On the other hand, the candle of learning Torah and specifically doing mitzvahs, which is the internal will of Hashem, that's the candle of Hashem. So what happens is, when we go ahead and we do a mitzvah, and there's plenty of mitzvahs to do, there's 248 positive commandments, there's 365 negative commandments, when we do a mitzvah, what happens then is, we draw down that humility into our soul as well. And that's what it means. Ani mishamer, I will watch your candle. So what they're saying is like this. This is a very, very important point. We have our candle, which is our neshama. It's our neshama. Our neshama cleaves to Hashem. But it's our neshama cleaving to Hashem. And it's beautiful. It's amazing. But guess what? Still, we are an independent entity cleaving to Hashem. Then there's the candle of Hashem, which is learning Torah and doing mitzvahs. When you learn Torah, and specifically when you do a mitzvah, there's no you. You're totally one with Hashem. You're doing the will of Hashem. You gave up time. You sacrificed your time, your resources to do the will of Hashem. You don't exist. So you literally become one with Hashem. So Hashem says, guess what? When you do that, when you give up yourself for me, I will infuse that powerful humility back into your soul. So the soul will be able to connect to Hashem with love and awe on the same level as you did when you did the mitzvah. And that's why it's important to do mitzvot. Because mitzvahs will allow us to become one with Hashem. And then Hashem says that He will infuse that oneness into our soul as well, which by nature is technically independent. And we become totally infused with Hashem. The Rebbe says, it's interesting is that this Chassidic discourse of the Rebbe Marash has a connection to the holiday of Shavuot, which we just celebrated last week. Now, what's the connection? So the Rebbe says, first of all, besides the fact that the Parsha B'Haloyscha Soneiros, which is the beginning of this Chassidic discourse, is always after the holiday of Shavuot, so there's a connection to the holiday of Shavuot, whether it's the first Shabbos or the second, but it's always right after the holiday of Shavuot. And also, in the beginning of this Chassidic discourse, the Rebbe Rash says that this is also connected to the Chassidic discourse of Yidaber Anoichi, which is the Ten Commandments. So you see there's a connection, A, because it comes right after the holiday Shavuot, and also the Rebbe Rash said that it's a connection to Shavuot. So based on this, Rebbe explains something very powerful, and he says as follows. What did we just learn? That when a person learns Torah, and a person does mitzvahs, so what happens is your soul gets elevated. Why? Because until you did Torah and mitzvahs, your soul is your soul, and you can be, wow, I love Hashem, I'm all of Hashem, but your soul still remains disconnected, you're independent. By doing a mitzvah, there's an upgrade in the soul that the soul could become one with Hashem. So the Rebbe says, this is the same idea that happens also when it happened on Matan Torah, when Hashem gave the Torah. Why? Because the fact is, the love, the natural love that every single person has, they want to cleave to Hashem. And they don't want to be disconnected. And literally, even you're willing to give up your life. I want to cleave to Hashem. I don't want to be disconnected. That also existed before Matan Torah. Before Matan Torah, people wanted to cleave to Hashem. They don't want to be disconnected. Where did we have that from? Because that already, the purposes we received as an inheritance from our patriarchs and matriarchs. We received, just like Avram Avinu, Abraham, the first Jew, had a love for Hashem. He wanted to cleave to Hashem. He didn't want to be disconnected. We know all the 10 tests in the Torah. So the same thing also, every single Jew has an inheritance from Abraham that we want to cleave to Hashem. We don't want to be disconnected. And this is already existed before the Torah was given. And based on what the Altar writes in Tanya, he says like this, that this idea that the Avos gave us as an inheritance, this tremendous love for Hashem, how did they do that? Because we know that the Avos, on a spiritual level, they're called the Avos are Merkava. They're the chariot of Hashem. What does that mean practically? When you look at a chariot, you have horses, and you have the chariot, and then you have the wagon driver, etc. Now, who leads the way? So, the wagon driver leads, and the horses obviously are pulling it. What does the chariot do in the back? Nothing. It's just sitting there. Now, the chariot is, if it's disconnected from the horse, it's not going to go anywhere. So it disconnects itself and says, take me. Take me where? Does the chariot say where it should go? Absolutely not. Wherever the wagon driver and the horses take him, it goes. Now, does the chariot want to have a relationship with the horses, with the wagon driver? No. In other words, it's just a real chariot is just connected and go. I'm going. What does that mean? That means practically it doesn't really have a will of its own. Whatever you want me to do, hineni, I'm here. Now, that's called its natural state. We also have within us our natural love for Hashem. What's our natural love for Hashem? We want to cleave to Hashem. Simple. Every person's natural love, you ask them in a quiet moment, really, what do you want out of life? I just want to have a relationship with Hashem. I want to be connected to the light. And it's totally connected to Hashem. Wherever you want me to do, whatever, I'm ready. Hineni. Now, so this component that we're like, so to speak, like we said, the Avos are the Merkava, they're the chariot. They just want to be connected to Hashem. It's a natural thing. We have that as an inheritance. So the Rebbe says, not only do we have within us the inheritance we want to cleave to Hashem, but we also have the love that we want to cleave to Hashem, not just because it's our love, but also in a way, some component of bittul, of humility. Not that we, for sure we want to cleave to Hashem, but also as a component of humility. In other words, it's not because I want to accomplish something. What I want to accomplish is, it's all about Hashem. And because it's all about Hashem, my love is to cleave to Hashem, and that Hashem should be revealed in the world, and that we know that Hashem had a plan, and Hashem had a vision. What was Hashem's vision? That there should be a Dira B'Tachtonim, Hashem should dwell down into this world, and that's what I'd like to see happen. I would like to see Hashem successful in his mission, not my mission. Sure, we want to bring light into the world, but it's not about what I want to do. We want Hashem's mission and vision to be completed. Now, so what's our love? Our love is, just like the patriarchs, we want Hashem to be revealed in the world so that, again, not about us, so that Hashem should be revealed and he should fulfill his dream. Now, when a person loves something, we love Hashem. We love Hashem and we want to do what Hashem wants, which is amazing and it's beautiful. And even when we want, what do we want? We said we want Hashem to fulfill his mission, his dream, his wish of Dira B'Tachtonim. But take for a moment, it's noble, it's amazing. and not discounting it, but just defining it. But nevertheless, the love that we have, that Hashem should be revealed, and He should fulfill His dream in this world, that's our still us. We're a Metzias. We're somebody. We're somebody that wants Hashem to be revealed into the world. So that's one level. It's great. But the Rebbe says, no, we have to go to the next level. What's the next level? What's the true level of humility? Bittul, what's the real level of humility? It's called the avodah, not that I want, Kabbalat Oil. Kabbalat Oil is already a higher level in bittul, in humility. What does that mean, Kabbalat Oil? I am accepting whatever Hashem wants. There's no me. Whatever Hashem wants, I'm ready. In the first level, I want to fulfill Hashem's dream. Okay, great, that's wonderful, it's beautiful, it's a noble. But it's still you. Kabbalah soil, it's not about me. Whatever Hashem wants, Kabbalah, I'm ready to accept. Like the Rebbe gives an example, it's like a slave. A slave, a worker, that doesn't have any of its own interests, agenda. The only thing they're doing is, whatever is my job for the day, whatever I was given, that's what I'm ready to do. And because I got this job to do, I'm doing it. I'm doing whatever Hashem wants. Now, the Rebbe takes it a step further and he says like this. The fact is, we received as an inheritance from the patriarchs the idea of a Merkava, a chariot. Now, when the Merkava, the chariot does what it's supposed to, it's not because it decided to do that, that it wants to be, the chariot decided it wants to be humble to the rider. No, the rider, the one that harnessed the chariot and is taking it. So even that example of the chariot, it's actually a deeper example which also represents the idea of Kabbalah soil. Where it's not like the chariot decided to connect to the horse and buggy. It was pulled in, and it doesn't resist, and it goes with the flow. So the same thing also, we technically have that level of Kabbalah soil also as an inheritance. Whatever Hashem wants, you want, we're ready to do. And there it brings a famous teaching where it says that when the Jewish people went to receive the Torah, so we all know, it says in the Torah, they said, Nasa v'nishma. Normally you say, Nishma, I want to hear. What are you offering us? And then accept it. What did the Jewish people say? They said, Nasa v'nishma. Pretty powerful. We're ready to accept. And because of that, Hashem gave them two crowns, etc. So it says in Medrash, a quote, Mi gila l'bnei roz, who revealed to the sons of Roz, and I'll translate soon, the Rebbe is going to explain to you what Roz means, who revealed them this powerful idea, just to say Nasa v'nishma. That's pretty powerful, because normally it's Nishma, and then Nasa. But really, if you want to be, really connected to Hashem, if you really want to be connected to truth, you say Nasa. Hey, whatever you need, I'm ready. Who gave the Jewish people that secret? Because the truth is that when you say Nasa v'nishma, life becomes great. You don't have to figure it out. Nasa, Hashem, you want me to do, I'll do it. By the way, if you have a chance, Nishma, explain to me what it is. It takes away the whole drama and craziness of life. So who revealed it to them? So it's brought down in Chassidus that when the Jewish people said, Nasa, we're accepting, before they even heard, which Nasa is the level of what? Kabbalah soil. We're accepting. Which is the highest level of humility. I'm accepting. Kabbalah soil. And not only Kabbalah soil to doing a specific act, it was Nasa, Kabbalah soil, and I'll say it in Hebrew, to the Baal HaRotzein. They were Nasa, anything Hashem wanted. It wasn't like, okay, this I'll do. That means that's an acceptance to a specific act. Nasa means whatever Hashem says, whatever the Baal HaRotzein, whatever Hashem wants, we're ready to do. So where did we get that from? So Chassidus says, because when there was the revelation of the Ava HaMasoteres, that hidden love that we have from the Avos, which is called Ruz. Ruz is a reference to that hidden love. So when we connected to that hidden love, we were able to say Nasa. Now, so the Rebbe explains, the connection with that hidden love, that Ruz, to saying Nasav and Ishma. In other words, here it's opposite. What does Ava Mesoteris means? We learned till now that Ava means love. Love means I love. If there's no I, there can't be love. On one hand, there's Ava Mesoteris, I love. But on the other hand, you're saying Nasav and Ishma, I don't exist, Kabbalah Sarel. It's two different, it's two extremes. Ava Mesoteris means I love. I comes first. Nasa means Kabbalah Sarel. It's all about Hashem. How do they two go together? It's really opposites. And Nerva explains very powerfully, he says like this. Because the Ava Mesoteris, that hidden love that we have it as an inheritance from the Avos, which they are known to be a chariot. In other words, so because we have it as an inheritance, we were able to accept, even though it was us. And so based on this, it was very simple. In other words, there is the love that we have for Hashem, and that's us. The next level is, we said Nasav and Ishma. And then Nasav and Ishma, the Rebbe says, is even higher than the humility of the Merkava. So in other words, it goes up in levels. The first level is the Merkava. I love Hashem, I'm willing to accept, but there's still a me. Then there's even a higher level of Nasav and Ishma. It's not about me accepting. Whatever Hashem wants, I'm ready to do. Okay. And then after they said Nasav and Ishma, they reached even a higher level of humility. So again, there's like three levels. Level number one is, I love Hashem, I'm ready to do whatever He wants. Okay, it's tremendous, it's beautiful, but it's me. I love Hashem. Next level is Nasav and Ishma, which is connected to the Ava Mesoteris, and that's why it's not 100% complete bittul. Nasav and Ishma, I'm willing to accept. And then after Matan Torah, whoa, then we totally accepting, and there's like the highest level of bittul metzias. So the Rebbe is going to explain, obviously, this powerful level, and he says like this. The Rebbe brings a famous teaching in the Talmud, and the Talmud says, in reference to Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, the Talmud says, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, there wasn't a thing that he did not learn his whole life. And the expression it says, Shaloi hi niach davar gadol, there was no big thing he didn't learn, but davar katan, no small thing that he didn't learn. Nothing. Everything. From the biggest to the smallest, he learned everything. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. What? So the Talmud says, davar gadol. What's a davar gadol? Ma'aser Merkava, the deepest teachings of Kabbalah, mysticism, he learned. Merkava literally means chariot. Okay. Davar katan, what is the small things? The Talmud says, Havayis, the Abaye of Rava, all the arguments of Abaye and Rava. That's in the Talmud. Now, the Rebbe Rosh explains in a Chassidic discourse, he says like this. The reason why Ma'aser Merkava is called something big. Why is that called big? Why are you distinguishing? Ma'aser Merkava is big. The arguments of Abaye and Rava is small. Why? So let's take one at a time. Why is Ma'aser Merkava considered something very, very big? And Rebbe explains like this. Because through Merkava, through the chariot, so the person that's on the chariot, he's able to go to a place that he couldn't go on his own. If you have a person that wants to go from point A to point B, or multiple people, so the person really wants to go there, and he wants to accomplish what he wants to. How's he getting there? So even though a simple wagon, without that wagon, he's not getting there. So the wagon has the power to take you to places you can't go by yourself. Now, what is that? So that's on a simple level. How does it work in the Merkava Elyona, the chariot on high, that the chayis, the animals that carry the throne and the person on the throne, so you have the person on the throne, and the animals that carry it. So the animals that are animals, bottom line is, take the person, the Adam, that's on the throne to a place of, called in Kabbalah, Lo Yodam. No, a person can't even get there. So you need the animals to take the person to a place of Layadam. Now, this taking, elevating the person to Layadam, it applies also to the chariot of the Avos, of the patriarchs. Because we know how Avos, Hein, Heinim are covered, the Avos are the chariot. And they are the chariot of what? Of the world of Atzilut. In other words, so the Avos that are the chariot of the world of Atzilut take them to a level of Lay Adam in the world of Atzilut. Why? Why specifically in that level? That explains very simple. Because when you elevate the Adam of the world of Biyah, Briya Yetzirah Asiyah, so what are you doing? You're taking the Adam which is on the chariot of Briya Yetzirah Asiyah, so you're taking him to a level of Lay Adam, but in which world? Briya Yetzirah Asiyah. In other words, the elevation in its world is, even though you go from Adam to Lay Adam, but in the world of Briya Yetzirah Asiyah, so you're going from Adam to Lay Adam in the world of Briya Yetzirah Asiyah. Obviously, in the world of Atzilut, where there's an Adam, you go to the level of Lay Adam in the world of Atzilut. Now, through the chariot of the Avos, Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, which are the chariot of the world of Atzilut, so then you create the elevation in the world of Atzilut from Adam to the level of Lay Adam, which is the level of Arich. We know in Kesher there's two levels, Atik and Arich, to the level of Arich. So based on this, the Rebbe explains, that's why Maaser Merkava is called Dover Gadol, something great. Why? Because Adam, in the world of Kabbalah, is called Ze'er Ampin, the small face. What does a small face resemble? Smallness, contraction, concealment. But through the chariot, you're elevated to the level of Arich, which is obviously Gadol. So again, on a deep Kabbalistic level, what the Rebbe is explaining, this piece in Talmud, that Dover Gadol is called Maaser Merkava, because through a simple chariot, and we're talking now specifically in the world of Atzilut, you can take an Adam, the small face, and elevate him to the highest levels of Keser, the world of Arech. Now, so that's why Maaser Merkava is called something big. Now, what's the reason why the arguments of Abaye and Rava call something small? Small? The arguments of Abaye and Rava, that's the basis of the whole Torah Shebaal Peh, the whole world of the Mishnah and the Talmud. Why is that called something small? And Rebbe explains as follows. Because the halachot, the laws in the Torah, were enclosed in small things. What does that mean? So Rebbe says, first, besides the fact, all the mitzvahs of the Torah, it's not mystical stuff. Every mitzvah is connected to something metaphysical, something materialistic. That's point number one. Number two is every mitzvah has a lot of details, a lot of specifics. Now, generally speaking, when you divide things up in little specific and little details, that's called a contraction, concealment. Expansiveness is the opposite of contraction, and therefore it's called katan. Katan means a lot of details. This, the size, this day, this component, and so on and so forth. Now, so based on this, the difference between Maaser Merkava, based on this definition, the difference between Maaser Merkava and the arguments of Abaye and Rava, it's literally two extremes. As Maaser Merkava, you're dealing with the chariot is taking you from Adam of Atzilus to Lay Adam, off the charts. Almost like infinite. Abaye Varava is dealing with finite things, materialistic world, concealment, minor issues. In other words, Maaser Merkava is going out of any limitations. Adam is a limitation. It goes to Lay Adam, to Bligvul, infinite. Davar Gadol, it's a huge thing. In other words, and there is a powerful line. What's real greatness? 1, 10, 100, 1,000, 1,000,000, 1,000,000,000,000, any number is finite. Real greatness is infinite. So Maaser Merkava, the chariot, takes the Adam to Lay Adam, takes the person to the place of infinite, and that's a Davar Gadol. Infinite is a great thing. On the other hand, the arguments of Abaye and Rava is the opposite. What does that mean? It's taking the will of Hashem, true, correct, which is infinite, and it's actually bringing it into finite things. So it's called a davar katan. So again, clear. Two different extremes. Ma'aser merkava is infinite, and the arguments of Bayin Rava is finite, and literally finite. Taking the will of Hashem, but putting it into finite things. And he continues on to say in the Chassidic discourse as follows. That's the first definition and explanation and showing you how it's literally two different worlds. But he goes on to explain in the Chassidic discourse another reason why the arguments of Abaye and Rava can call something small. Why? Because the Torah that we're learning today is considered something small in reference to the secrets of Torah, which is going to be revealed when Mashiach comes. A different insight to why the Abaye and Rava arguments are small. Why? Because the Abaye arguments, even though it's Torah, but guess what? Learning Torah is amazing. But compared to the Torah when Mashiach comes, Pnimius of Torah, it's a davar katan. It's a small thing. That's a second reason why it's called small. Another reason, he says, because the Torah that we're learning today is a parable. It's a garment for what? For the infinite light that's in the Torah. We all know the Torah is from Hashem. Hashem is infinite. When you learn Torah, whatever you're learning about, it's like clothing a garment. You're learning about, you know, external stuff. But you're not really getting to the essence of the infinite light. So why is it called davar katan? Because you're really learning about davar katan. You're not really getting to the infinite light which is buried in the Torah, which we can't see. And that's one of the reasons why the Torah is called Mashal HaKadmoini. What does it mean, Mashal HaKadmoini? Because it's a parable, and it's a garment for Kadmoini, referring to Kadmoini Shalaylam, the creator of the world, the one that was here before the world, Kadam, he was here before everything was created. So it's only a parable for the real light. And when you're dealing with a parable for the reference to the real thing, it's considered a small thing. So that's another reason why, again, the Torah is considered something small. Now, so Rebbe says that based on the reason, because we had several reasons why the argument of Abaye and Rava is called something small. Based on the reason that the arguments of Abaye and Rava is called something small, because the Torah is dealing with small things. Small things, materialistic things. So, in other words, the reason why we're calling it small is because the Torah got enclosed in small things. Because to be clear, the Torah is infinite. The Torah, when we learn Torah, we talk about damages, whatever the laws in the Torah are, the technical stuff. So it got enclosed in small things. So therefore he says, since he makes a statement that Torah is like, you know, really, it's infinite, but we're dealing with small things, therefore he says right away that the Torah that we're learning today, which seems like it's small stuff, it's only small in reference to Pnimius HaTorah, which is going to be revealed when Mashiach comes. And also, it's small in reference to the infinite light, which is really in the Torah. So, you know, based on this, when we're saying that it's a davar katan, it's a small thing, it's also in reference to the Torah, because the fact is, the Torah today, though we learn it, it looks small to us. We don't see the infinite light. We don't see the Pnimius HaTorah which can be revealed to the future. So it's literally small in reference to the Torah itself. Now, but this one he brings this first reason that it's enclosed in materialistic things, small things, trivial stuff. Because the reason why he brings that first is to bring out that the difference between Abaye and Rava, their arguments, and Ma'aser Merkava, as we said in the beginning, is two different extremes. In other words, Ma'aser Merkava is referring to Bligvul, infinite, and the Torah, the way it's in this world, obviously it's very, very finite. Now, so he continues to explain the Ma'aser, and he says like this. Another reason why Torah is called small. What's another reason why Torah is called small? The reason is very simple. Hashem is infinite. You open up the Shulchan Aruch, code of the Jewish law, and it tells you, do this, don't do that, etc. Now, you go ahead and you observe a halacha in the Torah. You do this, or you don't do that. What happens when you do and you don't do that? Why should you? You can do whatever you want. Ah, why are you doing it? Because the halacha is telling you, we, even though it's a free country, you can do whatever you want, you can say what you want in theory, but we are going to be humble before Hashem, we're going to do what Hashem wants. So why is it called Davar Katan? Because it humbles itself to the infinite power of Hashem. So Davar Katan is a reference to its humility, powerful insight. Davar Katan means it's totally humble to the infinite light of Hashem. And in other words, as Rebbe says, just like when you learn Torah, when a person learns Torah, how should you learn Torah? The way to learn Torah, part of the ingredients to learn Torah and to really comprehend and to understand Torah and to connect to the secrets of the Torah, you have to learn with bittul. You have to learn with humility. As the verse says, Tan l'shoini imrasecha, that my tongue should just like, you know, say what Hashem is saying. It should be automatic. Or like, I'm just like responding. I just want to be humble before Hashem. So the same thing applies to halachas of Torah when it comes to halacha. That halacha is totally humble to it, whatever Hashem wants. In other words, the way we explained before, Davar Katan means that it's small compared to other things. Over here, he's explaining it's small because of its because it's humbled. Like, for example, Katointi Mikolach Sodom, Yaakov Avinu said, I'm humbled. Hashem was so good to me, so kind to me, I'm humbled. And notice, what does that mean? Jacob was successful, but when you're humbled, he himself became humbled. So based on this, the Rebbe asks a very powerful question. According to this insight, we had many different translations. Based on this insight, the last one, that the reason why the arguments of Abaya and Rava are called something small, because it's humbled to the infinite light of Hashem. So the Rebbe asks the question, one second, if the reason why it's small, because it's humbled to the infinite light of Hashem, so the Merkava is also humbled. It's doing what Hashem wants. It's going wherever it has to go. It's humble to the one that's leading, driving the wagon. So why is the chariot is called Davar Gadol, something big? Big, it's humbled. So why is the chariot's humility called Davar Gadol? And the halacha is called Davar Katan, that humility. So the Rebbe explains and he says as follows. That the humility, which is called Davar Katan, Katointi, in reference to halacha, that means the person is totally humbled and it has no quality of its own. Katainti means I don't exist. Ultimate in humility. And like the author writes in Tanya, the famous letter, Igeris HaKodesh, which is called Katainti, and he explains, he defines it. The person literally makes themselves like nothing, leftovers, nothing, extra. There's no purpose for me. That's the ultimate humility. Don't exist. It's not about me. Whatever Hashem wants, hineini. It's not even hineini. It's Hashem. I'm going to do whatever Hashem wants. Now, so that in terms of the halacha, whatever, it's Hashem's will. Hashem's, it's Ratzon Hashem. The only thing that exists is the Ratzon Hashem. On the other hand, the Merkava, the chariot, is a something. Because we said before that the chariot has a superiority than the person that's actually riding him. Because without the chariot, how is the rider getting to the place where he has to go by himself? So the chariot is doing something, is a somebody. And because the chariot is a somebody that's doing something, it's not a Davar Katan. Baya halacha, it's Ratzon Hashem, there's no me. So it's a Davar Katan, it's real humility. But the chariot, even though it's humble, but it's doing something. It's taking the rider where it has to go. The rider couldn't get there. It's called a Davar Gadol. It's still arrogant. And on the contrary, the Rebbe says, because it takes it to the level of Lo Yodom, Arich, so therefore it's called Davar Gadol, because it's doing something, it's accomplishing. On the other hand, when it comes to halacha, the halacha of Torah, which is enclosed in literally something materialistic and physical, like the first insight of Davar Katan, which is physical, and the fact is, something materialistic compared to the infinite wisdom of Hashem, which is in there, it's nothing. It's a davar katan. And when a person sees and experiences the humility in the halacha of Torah itself, so when a person goes and says, I want to do Ratzon Hashem, it's all about Ratzon Hashem, and the halacha represents Ratzon Hashem, the halacha represents humility, so that halacha, when you do that Jewish law, what it says, or you don't constantly desecrate it, it means you're accepting and you're recognizing it's all about Ratzon Hashem. What happens is that humility goes into the person himself that's learning Torah, and the person that's doing the mitzvahs. That the learning Torah that we do should be in a way of tan l'shoini imrasecha. I'm just saying whatever Hashem is putting in my mouth. So you see from here, he brings out the power and the different levels of humility. You can be a chariot. I'm just here. But guess what? You're accomplishing something. So you're considered a davar gadol. Obviously, the negative part of gadol, because you're something. On the other hand, when you're just doing Ratzon Hashem, it's all about Ratzon Hashem, then you're a davar katan. And then that becomes internalized with you, and that creates a real humility, which creates ultimately the greatest, the most powerful beauty. So based on this, Rebbe explains what it says, why it says, Vayidaber Elokim, Hashem said, that's kol hadvarim ha'ela, all these words, lemer, when it came to giving the Torah. And it's brought down in Chassidus, it explains that by Matan Torah, Hashem gave us the power that when we learn Torah, it should be in a way of lemer, the same Torah that Hashem said at Mount Sinai. Literally to repeat the words that Hashem is saying, Tan l'shoini imrasecha, I should literally be repeating what Hashem is saying. So the Rebbe asks, one second. The fact is, before Matan Torah, the Bnei Yisrael said, Nasa v'nishma. Before Hashem gave the Torah, we said Nasa v'nishma. Nasa v'nishma is what? I'm accepting. Humility. And Nasa v'nishma is what? I'm not only humility to a specific mitzvah, to Hashem himself, to the Baal HaRatzin. So here you're saying, Vayidaber Elokim is called Lamer, that we're going to say it the way Hashem says it. We already had it before Matan Torah. We did Nasa v'nishma. There must be a difference between Nasa v'nishma, which is amazing, and Lamer, which is a whole different level. So what's the difference? Rebbe explains as follows. When a person says Nasa v'nishma, I'm going to do, and then I'm going to hear. Nasa, I'm ready to do. So there's a tremendous quality in that. Why? Because when a person says Nasa v'nishma, so what does that mean? Kabbalah Sa'il, I'm accepting the yoke of Hashem. And when a person accepts the yoke of Hashem, Nasa, what happened when we said Nasa? We're accepting the yoke of Hashem. So Hashem became a king over us. Just like when the chariot is humble to its rider, and when the chariot is humble, because it's humble, it can take the rider where it has to go. So the Rebbe is saying is Nasa v'nishma, Nasa is humility. But you exist. You're the one that's making Hashem the king. Lamer is a whole different level of humility. What level? Bittul b'tachlis. There's no me. It's only what Hashem wants. So again, to recap, there's three levels. There's Ava, I love, it's all about me. I'm independent and I love Hashem. Wonderful. There's Nasa v'nishma, I am accepting. Sure, accepting, it's all accepting, but it's still me accepting it. It's an acceptance, but I'm accepting. Lamer is, it's really just flowing with Hashem. Rebbe said the same thing applies when it comes to doing mitzvahs. That Hashem gave us by Matan Torah the power that when we do a mitzvah, we should do it with the highest level of humility, on the level of Lamer. In other words, when we observe, when we do a mitzvah, it's not because I'm accepting Hashem, Nasa v'nishma. But I'm doing it because Hashem commanded to do the mitzvah, and I'm doing it the way Hashem commanded. It starts and ends with Hashem. Like the Alter brings from Lakut HaTorah, where the Alter writes it as follows. That in reference to the Ten Commandments, which says in the Torah, and not only the Ten Commandments, but generally all the commandments. So it says a commandment, do this, and it also says in the future. What does that mean? Do, and then also in the future. So Rebbe explains, very powerful, based on Alter Rebbe, he says like this. When Hashem says, do this, the fact that Hashem said, do this, that decrees on the person and on the world to do it. So really, the real leader in the game of Matan Torah is, Hashem is the leader. It's not that we're accepting Hashem. And we're accepting, that means we exist and we're accepting Hashem. No, no, no. The highest level is, Hashem is the one running the show. And Rebbe says that this humility of doing a mitzvah, where basically Hashem is running the show, in reference to Kabbalah Soil, is on two levels. It's much higher. Why? Because when a person says, Kabbalah Soil, I'm accepting the yoke. So basically, you are accepting to be the servant of Hashem the King. So it's still you. That's point number one. Point number two is, even when a slave is totally dedicated to his boss, and even if you were born that way, naturally, but still there's you. You are serving your boss. You're serving Hashem. On the other hand, when it comes to the ultimate humility of lamer, where Hashem is the one running the show, not because you're nothing to do with me, Hashem is running the show. So that basically means, and this is extremely powerful because this is the highest level, that it's not possible that anything or anyone that can exist in this world, which is opposite of the will of Hashem and the command of Hashem. So really, in the highest level, Hashem runs the show. Nothing can exist which is not from Hashem. And when you plug into that, it's not even you plug in. It's really Hashem, Hashem runs the show. It's not I'm plugging in. Hashem runs the show. Now, so seemingly you're going to say, wow. This level of bittul, this level of humility, whether it's through learning Torah, let me hear what Hashem says, right? No me, just Hashem. I'm doing Hashem's will, right? There's no me. And it's totally, in Hebrew, it's called bittul b'tachlis. I just don't exist. Wow, what is Hashem saying? What is Hashem? Well, I'm doing it, right? So the Rebbe says, you might think a second, hold on, I don't exist. So the Rebbe says, very powerful, and he says like this, this is the art. This is beautiful. The fact is, Yisrael v'kutsha bricha kulachat. The Jewish people and Hashem are one. It's not us, Hashem. We and Hashem are really one. Echad, we're one. Therefore. So when you say you're batel, you don't exist, it doesn't mean you don't exist. On the contrary, what is our existence? That we're part of Hashem. Bittul b'tachlis means I don't exist. So I don't exist? No. You don't exist. Exactly. You don't exist. I don't exist. So what exists? Hashem. And I'm part of Hashem. We're part of Hashem. And based on this, Rebbe explains powerfully back to the beginning of Chassidic discourse. Im shamarta sneiri. If you watch my candle, which means it's my candle. When you're learning Torah, it's my Torah. When you're doing mitzvah, it's my mitzvah. Ani mishamer snercha. I'm going to watch your neshama. Because your neshama is really going to shine on the highest level. In other words, even though when we say, I'm watching your candle, it means I totally don't exist. And even higher, we said, than the level of the humility of the chariot, don't exist. But again, it doesn't mean you don't exist. What does Hashem say? No, guess what? I'm going to watch your candle. So when a person gets to the level where, what am I saying? Hashem, it's your candle. I'm learning your Torah, your mitzvahs. So you're going to think I don't exist? No, now is when you really start existing. Because now you're existing with me. Now you're becoming one with me. And the Rebbe says, this is also what Rashi says on the verse, B'haloysa es haneirois. You should elevate the candle. What does Rashi say? It should be the fire should be going on its own. What do you mean? What's the whole idea of the elevation of the soul? We totally abuttal. We totally don't exist. We're one with Hashem. No. When we totally become one with Hashem, then the soul gets elevated. That shall have us. The fire goes on from its own. We get totally plugged in from Hashem. And we become truly one. In other words, what does that mean practically? And Rebbe finishes off practically so beautiful, like literally grand slam home run. And he says like this, that when we learn Torah and we do our mitzvahs and we do it in a way that we're totally nullified with Hashem and one with Hashem, so seemingly we don't exist, but no, but we live in this world. So we do it, on one hand we don't exist, but on the other hand we do it with chayis, we're alive. What life do you see? You see this life of Hashem. And you do it with simcha, with joy. So you created the most powerful infusion. On one hand, it's Hashem's Torah. We're not here. But on the other hand, we're full of life. We're full of joy. And the Rebbe says, we know that simcha poiretz is geder. When a person reaches that level of joy, the joy of Hashem, any and all boundaries get obliterated. And when you reach that level of simcha, the simcha of what? Of learning Torah as Hashem, the Torah of Hashem. And simcha of doing a mitzvah of Hashem. But you have the simcha. You have the joy. Then what you open up is, the Rebbe says, you create the opportunity to draw down everything. Spiritual, physical, godly, materialistic, without any limits. So here you see a very powerful Hasidic discourse that ever shows us the way that by really and deeply recognizing the highest level of humility, that it's really we're learning Hashem's Torah, Hashem's mitzvah. Since it's all about Hashem, we become nullified with Hashem. That's when we really start living. That's when our soul really gets upgraded. And we really have life, happiness, and we have the highest level of life and happiness. We draw down the most powerful, physical, materialistic, spiritual blessings without limits. And Rebbe said before, without limits, that's big. To draw down without limits, that's huge. So I want to hope and pray and wish everyone, we should all connect to the ultimate humility. We should be humble before Hashem, learn Hashem's Torah, do Hashem's mitzvahs. When we learn Hashem's Torah and learn and do Hashem's mitzvahs, we will do it in a way that on one hand we don't exist, we'll have the greatest simcha, the greatest chayas, and we'll draw down the greatest infinite blessings. Have a great and blessed week. Thanks so much for joining us for our Chassidus class. And let's hope the next class will be in Yerushalayim, Ir HaKodesh, with Mashiach Tzidkenu. Have a great and blessed week.